Hi, everyone. This is Bobby Elias. Great song. We're going to do that song. We're going to help you stay alive. We're going to talk about a lot of creative issues today. This is one of my favorite guests, even before I've even talked to her, because she lives, thinks, and in a very creative, free-spirited, unique way, always coming up with new, unique names and systems of how to help people. So we're in for a great, great thing. But first, let me just tell our people that we're here every Saturday, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific time, and we've got a lot of shows the next few weeks coming together about stem cells, about love, about happiness, about a lot of deeper things into holistic health and living longer and trying to beat the age thing. And this is for everybody. We got people that are 25, 30. They're starting to get old, believe it or not. So I'm really excited. Now, here's the phone number. Tell your friends that if they cannot be near a computer, laptop, or don't have one, no problem. This is what's so wonderful about Progressive Radio Network, which is the number one station in the world. We have a phone number you can call to hear any show, my show, other shows. The number is 712-775-6850. Let me give you my number for any questions, problems, or whatever. 323-770-1925. So stay with us for the next few weeks. Great, great shows. We've been, the last 3 or 4 months, we've had some of the best shows. And I do want to apologize for the sake of the station, not me so much, but just we've been hacked. There's a lot of problems on Saturdays. Hoping I can move my show to during the week. There's times when we do the recording ahead of time, and then on Saturday the show doesn't come on for different reasons. So bear with us. Hang in with us, because we're going to straighten all that out and be here to give you the best of the best. I'm trying to make my show one of the best in the world about everything. So you're going to be hearing stories about ideas on how we can create a better world, which I will probably talk about today on the end of the show with this wonderful creative doctor that we have. We're also talking about health, vitamins, supplements, juicing, about exercise, meditation, dance, yoga. We're going to talk about the mind, how you keep the mind happy and peaceful and calm, and how to get to sleep earlier, how to chew your food better. We talk about all those things to help you live a better life. My dedication is for you to be a whole person, a better person, and to live longer and fruitful and happy. We don't want to see you in your 70s, 80s, or beyond, barely able to walk, completely forgetful, and just out of it. We don't want you to be that. And if you listen to this show and listen to Progressive Radio Network and Gary Null, you will learn to do the right things. All right, let's get to our guest. We have a great, great show today. Let me get my notes here. Her name is Dr. Deanna. I'm lost for a second here. Dr. Deanna, what's your last name again?
Minnick,
as in spinach. I like that.
Yeah, great kind name. Of, yeah. Deanna, yeah. Banana, Minnick, spinach, kind of.
let me try to introduce yourself, and then I want you to tell more about yourself first and your work. But you're really into a lot of great things, and a lot of, for example, you're author of 4 books, and we can discuss that a little later. You have a thing called functional medicine, nutrition. You're an artist. You are a practitioner and a real creative health. You're an integrative doctor. You're a creative visionary. This is great. I love it.
Well, I think you got it. Not many people are able to really encapsulate all these diverse things that I've done, but you seem to have done it.
Go ahead.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I think first and foremost, I would say I'm a seeker, probably like most everybody listening, and so me having my own health issues led me down certain paths, and I realized that some of those paths only took me so far, and then I needed to find another path to connect to the other path. So I'm a scientist. I'm also a clinician. I've done lots of study in nutrition. I have a master's and a PhD in nutrition. I never thought I would go into nutrition, quite honestly, because it was something that I was raised with, and I had a lot of emotion and polarity against, because it was something that my mom was really into, and I just, it made me feel different, and I really wasn't embracing it. So nutrition background, biochemistry background. I also worked in the dietary supplements industry, so I know a lot about supplements. And aside from everything with science, you know, I think, you know, what is science really other than looking for patterns? And I started to look for patterns also in spirituality, in art, and in more creative endeavors. So I, essentially, I'm not a trained artist, but I started painting when I was in my late 20s, when I had a lot of health issues, and I started painting, and I think that me being creative in the ways that I was and expressing that really helped me with my health. So I'd like to think that we're all artists, and I think that we are in our unique ways. So, yeah, I have that artistic twist into everything I do. You have already looked at my material. You know that I'm very much into color. Everything yeah. that I convey or communicate, I want to make sure it's going to dazzle your eyes and that the colors feed your soul as much as the information does. So I think that's it. You know, if I were to soundbite it, I would say I'm an author, teacher, artist. You know, those are really my archetypes. And those would be the three.
And don't forget, you're a creative of all those things. That's creative is a beautiful word. I resonate with you because I am also very creative, very free-spirited, and I believe I look at every single factor in health, in body, mind, spirit, and that's why I had this show, because we talk about all those things, and I get the best guests, like I had you today.
I guess, right?
Yes.
Great.
But you mentioned
really
you were
great.
Sick. Can you go into how you got, what happened to you, if you don't mind,
your
illness, and then how that led you to the next thing? Go right ahead.
Yeah, well, I probably should take you back a little bit into my childhood. So when I was 9 years old, I remember my mom getting into food and faith, two things. And so everything became very religious, and everything became very strict in our eating. And, you know, I think that under certain circumstances that could fare very well for certain people. I think for me, having all that restriction, and my father was also a police officer, so it was almost, you know, strict times three, you know, in many ways. And so as a teenager, I had a lot of emotional things. I was kind of this resist authority type. Being that I couldn't eat the foods that everybody else was eating, I would secretly eat. I would emotionally eat. I started binging. And I had a lot of reproductive health issues. So I developed, at the time, I didn't know that these were the issues, but I essentially developed endometriosis, which is an inflammatory condition of the uterus. Mm. And so I had very bad menstrual periods, extremely bad, where I would vomit, just lots of symptoms with my periods. I ate a lot of sugar, and again, just lots of hormonal fluxes. You know, most teenagers have that anyway.
Yes.
So, yeah, and I think with compounded with my diet, it just got worse. So in my 20s, this stuff didn't go away, and you know, I was headed down this track of being in pre-med. I was going to go to medical school. I really liked science. I was always curious about the body, and being that I had kind of my own skin issues, reproductive health issues, I just continued to read about things, and I was inquisitive. But a lot of these things I noticed weren't giving answers. And, you know, I was in my early 20s, and I was just at the level of college, and I was working for doctors during the summers in which I had time off from school. And, you know, I was seeing that other people weren't getting answers to their health issues either. And it made me rethink medicine. I was thinking, well, gosh, you know, that's not what I want to do, is just write prescriptions all day. So at the 11th and a half hour, I essentially decided to go to graduate school to study nutrition, that I almost came this full circle around into doing what I had so much resistance to doing to begin with, which was eating well. So in sync with starting this graduate program, and it seemed like most people in my graduate program, we all had eating issues. It's almost like, you know, when people go study psychology, it's almost like an attempt to go and figure themselves out. And I think for me, studying nutrition, because by that time I had already racked up a lot of guilt and other types of emotions around food and eating, that it was almost like an attempt to be curious around food, but then also to figure out what was going on with me and what I could do to solve my emotional and food issues. So I entered into grad school and had a lot of stress with that, even though I loved it. And going on for my PhD, you know, the stress didn't stop. My reproductive issues became worse. actually. I developed some scarring in my uterus that made one of my fallopian tubes swell up with fluid. And so I was diagnosed with that. There's a specific medical term for it. But essentially, you know, filling up with fluid and having all that inflammation is not a really good thing. And I started doing other things. I was thinking, okay, I'm doing all the right nutrition things. I'm having all these phytonutrients. I'm eating well. I'm avoiding toxins as best I can. You know, what am I not doing? So I started taking yoga. I started exploring other modalities like energy healing. I started working with a shamanic practitioner who is essentially a Native American woman who has a very nature-based orientation to her spirituality. And I just started to sample, much like a buffet, out of all these different spiritual things because I just felt like science could only take me so far. So with my approach of looking at all these different things and then me getting into the art side, I essentially went back and some years later and had a checkup because I had to watch my health condition every year with this kind of gynecological issue. And my doctor told me that usually those things don't resolve. They only get worse or they stay the same. And I remember going to her, and this is just, you know, this is after I had been doing so much different work, especially creative work. And she did the ultrasound, and she said, well, it's not there. This swollen fallopian tube is no longer there. Your uterus looks great. And, you know, and I asked her, I said, are you sure? I think you should just take another look because I've just had so many problems for so many years. Mm-hmm. And she looked and she says, no, they're gone. And she's like, I don't know what you did. I don't even know if I want to know. But, you know, whatever you're doing, keep doing it.
and what you were doing is getting healthier, right?
Yeah, getting healthier in different ways. And then I was thinking, well, isn't this crazy? You know, I would think she'd want to know what I'm doing so that maybe other people could start doing some of this.
Well, she probably had an idea, and she didn't want to talk about it to you. A lot of doctors stick to their own thing. I talk to them sometimes and tell them about something holistic, and they don't want to hear it. Let me reintroduce you to our people that just came in a little later. No problem. I'm Bobby Elias. Our show is Let's Create a Better World and Healthy Aging. We're very lucky to have a wonderful guest today, Dr. Deanna Minich. She is integrative doctor. She does extremely creative. We're going to be talking about detoxing. We're going to talk about seven steps that are really important that you need to hear about. There's a lot of things here that she has done. As we go along, we'll get into them all. So, Dr. Deanna, we wanted to, a lot of things to do. So at the end, I guess we might not be able to cover them all, but if we go quickly and each of the points, this way we can get more in there because I have a lot of questions for you because you have such a varied background and so many things that you're involved with, and I love it. So first question number one.
Start asking, and I'll do my best. We'll try to get as much information as we can.
I'm sure you'll do great. Okay. How is it for how do people get into detoxing, and what can detoxing do for them?
A lot. Detox is a way to kind of clear your inner slate, and everybody, I think, the body naturally detoxifies. We have built-in mechanisms to do that. We pee, we poop, we sweat, we cry. We're detoxing all the time anyway, but because the amount of chemicals in the environment have increased exponentially, because we are so stressed, because we are so unhealthy in our food, it just makes sense to have carved out periods of the year where we focus on detox a little bit more. Typically, what the data that I have shown from people that go through my detox program, they have, these are the top three things: better energy, less brain fog, and less fatigue just overall. And oftentimes there's help with joint pain, if people have joint pain. I have had a number of people comment on that. For some people, digestive issues subside, so no more bloating, no more gas, no more stomach upset. So they get rid of a lot of those food intolerances. They sleep better, and when you sleep better, you actually can eat better and make better choices. So, you know, it's kind of this ripple-through effect. You change one thing about your health, you're going to be changing all the others.
Right. Next question. Your system is called Whole Detox. Could you explain how you got that name and what it is, please?
Yeah, whole, W-H-O-L-E. It's the right. Whole self. So usually when people do a detox, they're just really working on a nutritional detox. They're not mm-hmm. really focused. Sometimes they just do something for the liver. You know, sometimes it's organ-specific. Typically it's nutritional, or there's some kind of juicing or fasting going on. This is not just a food, whole food detox. It's a whole life detox as well. So that's how I see it. It's for all the different facets of our being. It's not just for the food side, but it's also for the lifestyle.
Right. You know, on our show, we talk about solutions. And the next question, you've already kind of answered part of it, and that is this. How can whole detox help one improve their self, their life, their system?
Well, in all the same ways that I had mentioned, you know, usually when people go through whole detox, it opens them up to something completely new.
Right.
You know, many people don't have the idea that they have a set idea of what a detox is, and then when they start doing whole detox, they say, oh my goodness, my life, these are actually some of the comments that we've heard. My life is so much more colorful. I feel much more vibrant. I feel empowered. I feel like I have control on my life. We had one woman who did the program. She's in her mid-40s. She didn't think she could conceive. That she really wanted a child. She had wanted a child for years and years. She went through the program, and she ended up having a baby boy. And she shared the picture of him with us, and it was quite terrific. You know, for some other people, their sexuality improves. So, you know, their libido, just their relationships, which, mm-hmm. you know, nobody likes to talk about that, but that's a part of us where yes. I have a lot of perimenopausal and menopausal women that go through the program. They're going through a lot of change in their lives already, and so they're trying to recalibrate, reset, and I think that that's what Whole Detox can do for these people, is really give them a new baseline.
Great, beautiful. We're speaking to Dr. Deanna Minich, and she's a Whole Detox expert. She's got all the degrees. She's got all the experience of from A to Z. That's why we have her on the show, because we love people that are creative, that are different, that go out and research beyond whatever they learn in school. Experiment, try, and then come up with unique. This woman's got so many unique ways to help you. And so let's get into another issue here. My next question is about integrative medicine. You do a little bit of that, but explain to our listeners what it is and why it's so good.
Yeah. Well, you know, you think of the doctor that I was telling you about in my own personal story. You know, when we go to a typical physician these days, physicians are trained in a certain way of thinking, and everything is very segmented. So you go to a gynecologist, they focus on gynecology. They're not thinking about your gut. You go to a gastroenterologist, they are thinking about your gut. They're not thinking about your brain. But we know that all these systems are interrelated, and so integrative medicine is a form of medicine that acknowledges that all these body systems are interrelated. So, for example, if I want to work on your skin, I think of dermatology, I'm actually going to be working on your gut. The gut and the skin tissue are very similar in nature. So if you've got skin issues, I know that probably there's something going on with your gut, something going on with your stress level, something going on with food allergies and intolerances. So I'm going to be looking at you in a much broader way than just trying to focus in on that one symptom and try to give you a pill for the ill. I'm going to be looking bigger and broader at what's happening overall for you. That's right. What integrative medicine is.
Right, right. Next question here. You have a system of healing people, and there's 7 steps to it. And this sounds really great. I want you to take each one, if you could. You could take a little more time on this one to explain what it is and how it can help people. You've got things like love. You've got things like flow.
Yeah.
This is beautiful. Go ahead with the 7 and give a little explanation on each one, please.
Okay. So, you know, it's come out probably like in the 1980s, 1990s, that we're mind, body, spirit. So these 3 things, mind, body, and spirit.
Right.
And I think that that's all well and good, but I think we're much more than those things. And I think of us as 7 things instead of 3 things. And I'm sure we're much more, but 7 is a good number to kind of anchor into. So each of the 7 corresponds to a color and to some aspect of who we are. So I'll go through them quickly, just like you asked. So the first one is the color red, and I call it the root. This is everything that has to do with our physical body. The second one is orange, and I call it the flow, and it's all about our emotions. The third one is yellow, and it I call it fire, appropriately so.
Right.
And it's all about how we transform things in our life, the energy we have, where we put our energy, work-life balance, things like that. The fourth one is the color green, and I call it love, which that was the one that you called upon. And it's
right.
just that. It's everything that concerns love, nurturing, healing in our lives and having harmony in those areas. The fifth one is aquamarine. I call it truth. And it's how we tell our truth, how we speak our voice. The sixth one is a blue-purple color, like an indigo color. I call it insight. And it's all about wisdom. Wisdom mm-hmm. in our intellect and knowledge. And then the last one is white, and I call it spirit, and it refers to our spiritual side. So you can mm-hmm. see I tease out, you know, it's not just mind, body, spirit for me. I see people as these seven colors, and I even have a questionnaire where people can go online, and it's free. You know, it's just mm-hmm. information for people. They can
right.
go and take this spectrum quiz to find out which of these seven areas are imbalanced. You know, where do I need some tweaking? And that's how I do my detox programs. The detoxes are not the same. They don't look the same for every single person. You've got to tailor it. You've got to find what do you need right now? Because right now it might be more about your thoughts and your mind and your wisdom and where are you? Are you sleeping right? You know, what's going on with the mind?
Mm-hmm.
Or for other people, it's purely more of a body detox. You know, they really have a lot of toxic issues in their body, a lot of heavy metals. Or for somebody else, it might be an emotional detox. You know, maybe they feel a lot of guilt, anger, fear, whatever it is, and they really need to start processing that. Or maybe it's a combination. But whatever it is, you need to see where you stack up in those seven different areas. So, Bobby, when you get a chance, definitely do the spectrum quiz and see where you stack up.
Okay, and if people, what we're going to do this again later, but if people want to take the spectrum test and get into your website, go ahead and right now and give some of your web and email or whatever you want to give us.
I'll just give the site with the quiz on it. It's whole, W-H-O-L-E,
right.
-detox.com. So whole-detox.com. And when you get to that site, you'll see up at the top it says quiz. You just click on that, and then it'll take you through, and it'll probably take you 15 minutes. To go.
Good,
it's
good.
Pretty extensive. It's not a quick quiz. It's a longer quiz, but you get
good.
A report at the end.
I want us to repeat that at the very end of the show, but this is great. You know, of those seven things you mentioned, one that we talk about a lot on this show is I had a great guest that really got into it with me about what we can do to make this a better world. And I'm going to go with you at the end of the show. I'll give you our perspective and the perspective of different people that have called in. If the answer is, what can we do? But one of them is love. If we had more love in this world, we'd be great. Another guest said health. If people cleared their head up and their body better, they could be better human beings, better persons. We wouldn't have these crazy people doing all this terrorist stuff. But anyway, let me get to the next question unless you have any thoughts on that. Your food and spirit, that is part of your system, part of your, that's the title of your email, your website. Tell us what you mean by food and spirit, please.
Well, food is the physical. Spirit is the non-physical. And so it's a way of bridging together all the different parts of us. Rather than call it something about the seven colors, I just thought I would shortcut it to say, well, we're food, and, you know, we connect to food and we connect to spirit. You know, spirit is less of the body, right? So, you know, it's hard for me sometimes as a scientist, and I'll be honest with everybody, because the scientists only want the science, oftentimes. And then you go over to the spiritual communities, and then they only want the spirit. They don't really care about the science. And I feel that my message, and the reason why I am doing this work, is to bridge science and spirituality. I think they need to coexist. So when you say, what's going to make this world better? I think when we see things that are opposite, unite. because they're not really opposite. They're the whole. It's one. Whether it's people that seem like they're different and they think, well, I'm different than you and I've got better views and better opinions, but really they can be much more synergized and complemented with somebody else's views. You know, teamwork. It's the collective. You know, this is truly the age of bringing together duality. So that's, I guess I'm shortcutting to, I'm answering two questions in one. You're asking me about food and spirit. But really, I think that this is what my authentic message is about, is how do we bridge together where there seems to be a rift, you know, where there seems to be a disparity, where there seems to be arguments, where there seems to be conflict, when really and truly, when both things can coexist, we have a much richer, abundant universe and life to work from.
Beautiful. Wow, that's great. Dr. Deanna Minich is our guest. I'm Bobby Elias. Let's create a better world, healthy aging. And by the way, Doctor, we definitely speak about body, mind, spirit as part of our themes and the guests that we get on. And we're into a lot of things that you talk about. So I'm really happy to have you on because you're my kind of people as far as how I think more people should be, more doctors should be, more healers should be. All around, inclusive, just, and I love what you said about science and spirituality. That definitely needs to be done. And some of your great creative ideas, I'm going to really look at your website, and we're going to talk about it privately, you and I, about little things that we can do, and maybe we could have you on again to speak more at more length about more things now that we finished, as we're finished. By the way, we still have plenty of time, so take your time. I have three or four more things to talk about, and I'll give you at least several minutes to give a last final thoughts. But let's get to the next question, which is about Eastern and Western medicine. It's more and more doctors are, and the medical industry is starting to respect Eastern philosophy. Years ago, as you know, chiropractic, they didn't like it, but it came around. They didn't like acupuncture, but it's come around a little bit. It's still being held back, and you can't get it at certain places. Certain Medicare and insurance people will not honor it. And there's much more. Reflexology, there's Ayurvedic, there's so many new things that Western medicine and Western philosophy don't include. But I'd like your take your time on this one. Eastern and Western medicine, integrative medicine, give us your talk on that, please.
Well, this is one of those things that has to be united. You know, being that I straddle both spheres, I'm even married to an acupuncturist. So I have lots of conversations with my husband about Eastern medicine, and I've also experienced a lot of Eastern medicine approaches myself. So if we look, let's start with the East, because they're much more old and ancient in their truths and what they bring to medicine. It's thought that the oldest form of medicine is Ayurvedic medicine, originating from India, and that this form of medicine, it did a lot of different things. It looked at types of people's bodies. It looked at the physical nature. It looked at emotional things. So in Ayurvedic medicine, you've got the doshas, the three doshas, and how those are all in us, these elements. And so I think that, you know, it's such a great foundation, and you can see how that information went further into creating other forms of medicine, Tibetan medicine, traditional Chinese medicine, Korean medicine, Japanese style of medicine. So there's something inherent in the truth of ancient wisdom about personalizing an approach, looking at somebody's body, looking at their emotional state, looking at their mental state, what are they eating, where do they live. You know, in traditional medicine, it is said that as within, so without, as above, so below, meaning that we are, as human beings, the essence of heaven and earth. We bring together the spirit together with our bodies, and we're the culmination of that, right? So there's a lot of beauty in ancient Eastern medicine, and I'm really glad to see it permeating into Western medicine, and I'll mention how I think it's permeating now.
Please.
Yeah, so we see, and you mentioned integrative medicine. I'm also going to toss in there functional medicine. Functional medicine was developed and coined as a term back in, I think it was 1992 or 1991, by Dr. Jeffrey Bland and Susan Bland. And essentially, functional medicine is looking at the root, you know, why do people have certain things going on? In traditional medicine, was actually really good about that. They weren't just about getting rid of symptoms. They were also looking at the root. Why is that person that way? Why did they get those symptoms? What do we need to change in their environment? It was very holistic. Same thing with functional medicine, very holistic, looking at the gut, looking at hormones, looking at, you know, they use a lot more biochemistry than you would see in traditional medicine. But, you know, to me, it's just a language. It's functional medicine is using modern language to do what ancient medicine did with symbols. So we see ancient medicine is more symbolic, using elements, things like fire and wind and dampness in the body, feeling the body for temperature changes, whereas Western medicine would say, well, the fire element is really inflammation. Dampness really swelling in the body, right? So we just have a different lexicon, but I see it as it's where we're going with medicine in the 21st century. We're essentially creating a fusion of the two. And Bobby, I'll just say one last thing on this because I think your listeners are probably getting it. There were I've been monitoring the scientific literature, and I'm noticing that some scientists are starting and clinicians are starting to look at things like they call it. Here's a term that I've seen in the literature now: ayurgenomics, A-Y-U-R, which is for Ayurvedic medicine, plus genomics. Now, how beautiful is that? So, in this study, what they looked at was all the different body types, the doshas, and then align them to what's happening with their genes. Do they have certain gene expression patterns that make them perform in a certain way? And they found that they did. So there was something really ancient about what we knew in Eastern philosophy and medicine, and we just are translating that now with our technology. So I think it's good. I think we get the East and the West talking. We need to. And, you know, you see more practices now where clinical practices where you see a medical doctor who might even do acupuncture in their practice. It's, you know, this is the age of teams. It's the age of the collective. And in a lot of medical practices, and I would encourage your listeners to go to these types of practices, they have a medical doctors, they have massage therapists, they have people doing hydrotherapy, acupuncture, nutrition, chiropractic. It doesn't stop at one form of medicine. It's like a kaleidoscope where you enter into the clinic, and depending on what you need and how all these practitioners are talking about your case, you're directed accordingly. I think that's really important.
Very important. You know, I wanted to speak to you. I'm going to mention a few things, and then I'll let you write on them. And one is Western medicine is really a lot of the frowns on Eastern medicine. They, for example, some of the major insurance companies, as I said earlier, don't want you to know about it. There's a lot of money in pharmaceutical industry, the medical industry, the corporations are in on that, making a lot of money. The GMOs, my God. And these are things that we talk about. We not only talk about them, Dr. Deanna, but we give solutions, myself and my guests. And I do meetings here in Los Angeles and Southern California and about the Gary Nolan Health Support Group, and we talk about a lot of things that you and I are talking about now because people are getting the old guard of the medical industry is going out the door little by little at Bonds, at Ralph's, at Safeways, some of the major chains of food markets. They now have a whole aisle of organic or natural or healthier foods, whereas they didn't have this 10 years ago. But that's happening more and more. Some of the big stores like Whole Foods and health stores are expanding into big markets. And so the world is changing slowly but surely, and it's speeding up because here's one of the reasons, and I'll talk about this at the end when we talk about why and how we can create a better world. The internet, social media, and young people and people of all ages communicating and exchanging ideas. And this is great. So anyway, let's get back to what I wanted to ask you about is Western medicine, how they dominate, how, well, we've already talked about it, but I know a lot of doctors that still, with doctors, let me give you an example. 5 years ago, only 20, 25% of the doctors would even want to talk about things that we would ask, like what food, nutrition, exercise. And now it's gone up to maybe 40% in the last 5 years. It jumped. It's going to jump more and more. They're going to have to because, and everywhere you go, if you go into a doctor's office, they'll have a TV thing going on about it's a little more holistic, a little more health conscious, a little more about food and things. Your thoughts on all that, please.
It's happening because the patient is asking for it.
Right.
You know, the power is in our hands as a patient and as a consumer. You know, I used to work for a large food manufacturer that did not make healthy products. They made some healthy products, but for the by and large, they did not make everything healthy. And what I realized after working at this large company, Fortune 100 company, was that it's really up to the consumer to vote with their purchase. So if you continue to buy sugar-coated cereal, there will continue to be sugar-coated cereal on the shelves at the grocery store. So I think we have to take on the responsibility as an empowered consumer. When we go to the doctor, you know, and I have seen this before when I've worked for doctors, I see patients come in and they're very quiet and, you know, they're very submissive, almost like, you know, they're not asking questions. They're not feeling like they're empowered to do so. But right now, the reason why that number is jumping up to 40% is because people are asking.
Yeah.
And so what ends up happening, and I know this because I have friends that are physicians, and so many of them didn't get involved in things like herbs or supplements or nutrition. It was because their patients came to them with something they printed off from the internet, and the patient says, "Doctor, what do you know about ginkgo? My memory is failing me."
Great.
And the doctor doesn't want to look stupid, right? So they're going to go and investigate, and a good physician is going to say, "This is excellent. I'm glad that you brought this to me. I want to explore it a little bit more, and I'll come back to you and let you know what I think about it based on your health status, and you can take that information and make some decisions, and we can talk about it." You know, it's a conversation. Health is a conversation, and it's, you know, it's about being led by expertise, but then there's also this intuitive knowing and helping people to sit right again in their bodies and be much more intuitive rather than reading all these diet books, going to the latest healers, going to the latest. You know, I actually went through a period in my life where I did all of that, and I think it is really important to do. You've got to go through that. You've got to go through the experience of seeing all the different types of practitioners, getting lots of opinions, because, you know, you think about your house. You usually, if you're going to get the roof done on your house, you're going to get at least two or three opinions, two or three different bids. But most people will just go to one doctor. I mean, your health is first and foremost. It's so primary. You don't have your health, you have nothing. It's really hard to survive and feel good and have good quality of life without that. So what I would encourage everybody to do on this is seek out a physician or a team of practitioners in a clinic where you feel really good. Interview them. Don't just take,
right,
you know, their initial response and don't, you've got to ask questions. You are at the seat, at the helm of your health, and it's you. You've got to take your health into your hands with help, of course, with people around you that are qualified, but you got to be active. You know, I look at my dad. I look at my dad versus my mom. They're so different. My mom is exactly what I'm describing, very action-oriented, asks the doctor a million questions. My dad is a little bit more sheepish. You know, he just kind of cowers and goes with whatever the doctor's writing him a script for. If my mom ever goes with my dad to the doctor, my dad gets even more embarrassed because she's asking him questions. She's saying, "Well, shouldn't he be on CoQ10 since he's on this drug?" And the doctor, of course, is, you know, not always prepared to answer those questions. Unfortunately, she's more well-read. You want to be like that. You want to know. It's like education. Health has become education now. It's beyond just going to a doctor.
Wow.
So I know I probably sound like
I'm getting
emotional passionate, but this is, I see this so much.
I love it because you really care. You're really dedicated. I see that. Now, I want to speak about, we have about 10, 12 minutes solid, and at the end I want to give you time to have final thoughts, but I want to talk about a couple more things, being a visionary and also about aging. Those are topics that our listeners, the aging part they ask about. I'm going to ask you about being a visionary. I consider myself one. Whenever I do a resume or a bio on myself, I always include that, historian, visionary. I do a lot of things because I'm all around. That's why I have this show, and this show is about a lot of different things. Visionary, I believe, and I want your description of it. I'll give you a little bit of mine. I'm doing this off the top of my head, and that's somebody that looks ahead to visualize the future, to visualize what could be, what could happen. It's usually in line with a lot of positive things. So I consider myself visionary because I'm always coming up with ideas for the future and ideas for example. There's a new another radio station here in LA, and they wanted my input and ideas, and we're talking about being visionaries. So your take on being a visionary, because you are one.
Well, Angela Zarian, who is a she's a cultural anthropologist, and she's written this book called The Fourfold Way. And what she did was she looked at Native cultures to see if there were certain things that were shared by Native cultures. You know, what do we know? And she found out that there were four different archetypes or four different truths embraced in Native cultures. They are being a warrior, like somebody, a fighter, you know, a warrior, right? This is kind of like the strength side of us. Then there's also the healer, that we all have a healer side to us. Another one was the teacher, that buried down deep within us, we all have the ability to teach. The fourth one that she found was the visionary, that all of us have the seed of the visionary, and some of us are going to grow that seed a little bit more than others. And the visionary is all about zooming out of a situation and being able to get perspective, being able to see the great whole rather than being down and sunk into the parts. And also being able to look into the future a bit, right? It's good to look back into the past, but in the past will inform us about the future. A visionary is going to be able to zoom out of that forest, look overall and say, wow, I'm seeing patterns. I'm seeing how things are coming together, aligning. We're seeing now marine biologists talking with biochemists and, you know, just whatever discipline, we start to see the interconnections. That's what being a visionary is about. You've got to hold that vision. And I even wrote, I've got one of my books called The Complete Handbook of Quantum Healing. I talk about visualizations. Visualizations are very powerful, and if we don't hold those visuals in our mind, you know, it's like we're not anchoring to anything in the future. We need something, even my patients. I remember one patient I had who was a Vietnam vet, 62-year-old, newly diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. He was gaining weight. He wasn't as fit as he used to be, and he was just feeling kind of, you know, just low energy, just kind of hopeless in a way. So I asked him, I said, bring in a picture of me, of you, of how you see yourself or where you would like to be. So he actually came back the next time with this scrapbook of photos. He chose one of those photos from when he was actually in Vietnam. It was a picture of him when he was 22. He was in his camos, and he was leaning up against a car. He had muscles. And I said, this is good. Of course, you're never going to go back to 22 when you're 62, but I want you to have this vision of yourself as being strong. You know, for him, that's what he was missing was his strength. You know, he just didn't feel strong anymore, emotionally strong, mentally strong, or physically strong. So it's so good for the visionary part of us to actually have a vision. I'm looking right now, to be honest. I'm staring. I have this picture of it's a mandala. A mandala is a beautiful, intricate, it looks kind of kaleidoscopic because there are lots of colors, lots of shapes. And I have this within view of my desk because it's something that energizes me. So whenever I see that symbol, that vision leads me into, you know, just going deeper with something and really remembering the inspiration, the force of creative expression. So I would say to all of your listeners, pick your vision. Maybe it's a picture of you, but maybe it's not. Maybe it's a symbol. Just don't have things in your environment that tear down your vision. You know, there's another patient I can think of who he had skulls in his environment. He was wearing a skull ring. There's another patient who had a big canvas of this skull hanging in his living room. You know, you have to realize that whatever visions we put within the realm of our vision are going to trigger certain brain patterns and change our thinking about things. So make sure, that's part of my detox program too, is I always ask people to look around your home. What is in your line of sight? Because this is already changing your epigenetics. So that's what I think about the visionary.
That's
lots
that's
of things.
Good. Yes, a lot of things. We're winding down on time, but I do want to have you on again the show. We've so many things that you and I can talk about because, like you, I have a lot of interests, a lot of loves, and a lot of things that I can make comments on because I can see that you've a worldly person. You went out and discovered, adventured, and wanted to learn everything you could about health, about being a better person, being healthier, and for not only for your practice and for your clients, but for yourself and for everybody. Because
yeah.
There's so much information out there. The information age is here, big, big time. Anyway, let's the name of our show is Let's Create a Better World. I'm going to spend 2, 3, 4 minutes on that, at least, if we have time on aging, and if we have time, at least a minute or two of final thoughts on your part. But first, let's talk about the world. The name of the show is Let's Create a Better World, but then more and more people, and Gary Noll, the owner of the station, ask us to do something more on aging and health. And so we teach people, and you and I will get into that later, but possibly another show, unless we can make some comments on it now if we have time. But aging, we have a lot of people. Gary's been at this for over 35 years on radio. He's won so many awards for his films, all of his work, his books, bestsellers. So he's got a lot of clientele. You asked me a question about the people who listen to the show. We have a lot of people in the East, especially all around the New York area. I have people in California listen to the show on the West Coast because I do a lot of work over here and I promote this on the West Coast. But we have people all over the country. We have, believe it or not, Canada, and probably a lot of people that have moved to Canada or just people that are somewhat Americanized or like to listen to American shows. Then we have people in Mexico, some of whom are retirees, because a lot of retirees are going south of the border to Costa Rica, Mexico, and other places. Baja, it's big time. So our show, and we love it. By the way, we have millions of people listening to the show over a full year. We have even more people going to the social media, to our all the sites that we have, and just so much information there. So let me tell our listeners this. GaryNull.com. Check it out. GaryNull.com. Or you can go to Progressive Radio Network or PRN.FM. I've had that information for me. But anyway, let's get into the world. Here's my thought real quick on how we can make this a better world. This is from myself, from listeners, from guests like you. And as I said earlier, one of the guests said, if we have more love in this world, it would be, that's the key word, love, and I agree 100% with that. So another one said, if we have our health, because she was talking about the mind, the head, but all the whole body. If our minds are clear, we'll have less anger, hate, and violence, and torture, and all the horrible things that men do. I say men more than women, of course, and that's another problem. We talk about that too, but we need to, the internet, the social media has been a big step, in my opinion, on helping make this a smaller world and a better world. Your thoughts?
Yes, to everything you just said. You know, it's all part of that. You know what I would like to see as part of, I think I spoke to this when I was talking about uniting science and spirit, that I think that we have to unite opposites. I think that that's, if I were to get my top three list of things to make this world better, that would be number one. Number two, I think that we have to start being, I agree with the love part. It's hard to think of things that would supersede that.
Right.
That's huge. Because when we love, then we love ourselves, we love each other, we love the planet, and all of our decisions will be made in the spirit of love, which means that we're taking the high road, the high path. So I was just going to say that my number two would be to be conscious about our decisions. One of my teachers has said that we are the culmination of all of our choices that we've ever made, and I would agree with that entirely. And so how do we make a better world? We are a little bit more thoughtful about our choices, and we're present, we're aware, so that we can make those choices. So that ties into food choices. It ties into, what do I do today? Am I going to exercise? Am I going to give this homeless person money or not? Am I going to say this phrase to this person or not? I think we just have to be a little bit more conscious about the ripple-through effects of everything that we choose. I think that that's big. And along that line, I think we have to be ourselves. This is number three.
Right.
We have to be who we are. And I know that that's also one of my big life lessons, is to be authentic mm-hmm. and not be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be shy to talk about science and spirit. You know, that there are going to be things that are going to be uncomfortable, but what's more satisfying and what is more healing for the planet is really for you to be you. And whatever that means, you know, even if you feel different or you feel like you're on the outside. I know that I have a lot of patients who always feel like they're on the outside of their families. Like, they eat different. They live
right.
different.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I say to them, be that beacon. Be that beacon of light. If that's who you are, that's all you can be. And by you doing that, you allow other people to be themselves. And even if they're not going along with your style of eating, that's okay. You know, I think we really have to appreciate each other's uniqueness. We come together as a whole, but we also realize that we are individuals with gifts and mm-hmm. talents and lots of things to bring forward for healing. So
right.
being you, you know, and your spirit, Bobby, is so unique in that way. You know, you being a visionary, a creative, you're a messenger to the world. I mean, no two people are alike, right? So we
right.
have to savor. We have to savor what we've been given.
Exactly. All of what you just mentioned and what I do, yes, I do all that. And that is my contribution to the world. And I want to do it at a higher level, and I'm working at that. I'm making better and better contacts. This radio show helps out a lot, working with Gary Null and the New York people. That's enormous. But I live so positive, and one of the things I tell people about what you just said is, in order to make us a better world, we have to have, in this world, we have too many divisions by race, by geography, by the type of work they do, the way they think. There's so many different aspects of what, if we could make a peaceful world and pull hands and just kind of understand that everybody's different, respect it, and let them be different. But as long as we're united to some degree, that's what the human race should be all about. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes. Well, I think we'll get there. It's going to take a lot of time, and that's why we're all still here. Because we're working on it, you know,
yeah.
and small steps is what I say. You know, we can't get world peace in the blink of an eye, but it starts with us.
Yes,
we start
yes.
making those decisions. We start, you know, we love and you know, continue on the high road.
Okay, give me a 1 minute wrap up, our final thoughts to encourage and motivate our people to the things that you want them to learn. And whatever you want to say for a minute or two. Go ahead, 2 minutes.
You know, another thing I'd like to bring up is about color. Color is so important. I talked about art very early on in our conversation about just how color feeds us. And so what I would say to you is start embracing, you know, look at what colors are around you. Colors of food have different health effects. Most people don't get enough blue-purple foods, and blue-purple is really good for the brain, as you would
right.
know. You know, this is now coming out in the science. So what I would say is pay attention to colors, the colors that surround you, the colors you wear, the colors you eat, and really to just have some awareness around that. I think it's really important. Kids love color. Elders love color. We all like color. So pay attention to what colors are really connected to you. There's a huge role of color on health. And that's probably not something that anybody else has ever said on this show. But
right,
I think
right.
it's important.
It is. That's different. That's unique. That's what makes you so great, so unique, so creative. And I just love everything you said. This is one of our better shows, absolutely. We want you back again, and I would want to stay in touch with you on all these things. What you live up north in Washington, the state of Washington, is that right, or am I? Are you?
I do. I live in the Seattle area.
Okay, well, that's what I
yeah,
thought.
Yeah, so we'd love yeah. to have you as part of the. We've got a whole detox program happening in March.
Okay,
so if Bobby, you wanted to be part of that? You know, I'd love to have you. Love to have your listeners be part of that. My
yes.
new book, Whole Detox, comes out on March 8th, which
mm-hmm.
is also International Women's Day. I love that. So definitely get that book. It's the culmination of all of my years of science and spirit and lots of color in there. So I know people will love it. If you pre-order the book before March 8th, you can go to my website and get lots of different bonus gifts for that.
That's great. That's great. Give your contact information again, please, how people can meet
yeah.
you. Or
So I would say I've got two websites. So one is whole-detox.com, and then the second one is deannaminnick.com. So it's just my name, deannaminnick.com. Just remember, Deanna rhymes with a banana, and Minnick, it's kind of like spinach, but not entirely. So you'll remember me as a food person. So if you go on there, I do have a bunch of things you can download, too. I think you'll like the colorful chart, and you can do the spectrum quiz on the whole detox website. I'm doing a lot of speaking coming up, so I might be in your area. So come and say hi.
Please call me if you are. Call me, and I'll have to help promote you and get you out here. And yes, for sure. Listen, we've got to run, so thank you so much for all this great information. I love it, and we want you on again. And we'll do. I want to talk to you about your thing in March. Maybe we can plug it on the show before it happens.
Thank you.
Do that at least for a few minutes, because our shows are all, we're getting better and better shows, and that's why you're on. But thank you so much. You've been great.
Thank you, Bobby. Thanks for all you do and who you are. It's been really fantastic talking with you.
Same here. And so for our listeners, that was Dr. Deanna Minnick. She's going to be on with us again. She does so much wonderful work. So I want to thank her for being on the show. I want to also let you know, our listeners, that we got some great shows coming up in the next few weeks. Stem cells, lasers, being more creative. We just did that. More love, more happiness, more learning how to avoid aging. Prevention, we've done that the last few weeks. We're going to do more of it. And longevity, how you can live longer and happier through juicing, through supplements, through food, through raw food, organic food. We're going to talk about all those things. And at times we may have two or three guests on at one time so we can pack in more information on this show. And I want your thoughts. Here's my number. Call me if you have any questions. My number is 323-770-1925. The music's coming on and we got to get off the show. So thank you to Jason, the director of Progressive Radio Network. Thank you to Jesse, our engineer today, to Gary Null for having the station, doing all the great work he does, and to all of PRN and Gary Null. We want to thank Stuart, who did a lot of work to get the show off the ground. Stuart's one of our co-hosts. I want to thank Lydia, our associate producer, that did a lot of work also preparing for the show. And I want to thank Jimmy D, one of our other producers, Dr. Deanna Minnick once again. And I want to thank you, the listeners. Thank you. Come again, Saturdays, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Thank you. There are people dying. Oh, when it's time to lend a hand to life, the greatest gift of all. We can go on pretending day by day that someone somewhere will soon make a change. God's great big family, and the truth, you know, love.